I want it clearly understood that I believe that love and truth should never be enemies. In fact, true love, and the kind of true love I'm talking about is biblical love, that kind of love and truth literally cannot be enemies. I believe, though, that it's time for us to expose Islam's agenda for America, and that's the truth component, without succumbing or stirring up fear or hatred. And of course, that's the love component. In fact, the more we know about Islam, its treatment of women, how it holds its adherents in the grip of fear, how its adherents are treated if they leave or apostatize from the Islamic faith, the more we know about all of those things, the more we should be driven to compassion for Muslims themselves. They are victims enslaved in a totalitarian ideology that's masquerading as a religion. So what's needed today is truth and genuine biblical love. So Sam, I'm going to go to you. We've talked about how the infiltration is taking place, not only into our country from a political standpoint, but more importantly, our topic today, which has been this issue of its infiltration into the church, Islam's deceptive agenda for a desperately unaware church. What does the church need to do? What do pastors in the pulpit now need to do, Sam, to correct this problem?
Dave, the pulpits of America and those who call themselves Christians must get on their knees and, I believe, ask God for forgiveness and repent of idolatry of their own hearts, meaning trusting in things and something other than God ourselves. Dave, until we, as those who call ourselves children of God, Christians, until we first understand that our major obligation, our primary obligation, is obedience to God's word, we will not, I believe, ever be able to confront the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of God himself, until we are right there. So we have to be in a right position before God himself, our heart given to complete obedience. Then with that in place, then we have to be more concerned about then doing what God wants and reflecting who he is in our lives, in our choices, in our hearts, and in our actions, more than what we think is right or what we think ought to be done. You know, Dave, the reason that, you know, I know you pray for wisdom every day, I pray for wisdom every day, so that I, in an age, and we're talking about a culture right now, we're talking about this issue that has so deceived so many in this nation, and we watch it and say, how does that happen? Well, we've walked away from God. How do you keep it from happening, or how do you resurrect and strengthen what has been lost? Well, you have to go back to God's word, say, I'm going to do what God says rather than what I want, and then we ask for wisdom, taking God's knowledge, the knowledge of truth, and applying it to the issues that we see around us. I mean, everything we're talking about right now, Dave, is discernment. It's talking about taking these things which we're seeing, those quotes that you gave about other leaders, you know, the Pope and, you know, saying, read out of the Quran, the Church of England's bishops, the Washington National Cathedral holding Quran readings. Why does that happen? Well, it's because we're not given, number one, to God's word. Number two, not praying for wisdom in the application of it, and the result of it is then we fall victim. So we have to start there, and then we pray for the courage, and we act upon what we know with courage to stand for truth. And, of course, that is the nature of this whole program, stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for what? Stand in the gap for truth. Stand in the gap for the truth of God's word. That has to be a choice, and that has to be a commitment, otherwise it won't happen. But if it does happen, Dave, a difference will be made, clearly.
Sam, it sounds like what you're saying, in essence, is exactly what Revelation 2 says with respect to the church at Ephesus when God addressed it, and they had removed themselves drastically, dramatically away from the relationship that they at one time had with God. And God says to them, I want you to do three things. I want you to remember from whence you were fallen, and I want you to repent. And then I want you to do the first works or return back to what you were at one time. And if we're going to passionately love the Lord and seek to please him, I want to quote our dear friend who's on this program typically once a month, sometimes twice a month, and that's George Barna. He said, we've got to love God and his truth more than we want. And I'm not trying to be crass here, but it's his phrase, not mine. We've got to love and want to please God more than we want butts in the plate and butts in the pew. It sounds like to me that's what you're saying. Is that accurate?
It is, Dave. It's making God's priorities our priorities. You know, I think you go to Revelation 2, Revelation chapter 3 talks about the church of Laodicea. It's a church that thinks they're rich. They think they have everything under control, and they have no need of anybody. Dave, when I look at the church in America, I say, we're the church of Laodicea. But God goes to that church, and he says to them, oh, you don't understand. You think you're rich? You're destitute. You think you're clothed? You're naked. You think that you can see? You're blind. But yet they felt that they were doing just fine. Dave, I believe that as a church collectively, the church in America thinks we are doing just fine. But in reality, we are not just fine. It does come back to those first things that you talk about with Ephesus and reacquainting ourselves with who God is and saying, we have sinned. Oh, Lord, forgive us and get on our knees and pray that God will hear that prayer, and that prayer God will hear.
Sam, let me ask you one last thing before I'm going to ask you to close in prayer. But we're talking about the infiltration of Islam, not just into America, but into the church. Speak to the shepherds of America. You're the president of the American Pastors Network. Talk to the shepherds, the pastors of America, and give them one final word of admonition with respect specifically to this issue of Islam and what God could use them to do to issue a very clarion warning.
Dave, my admonition to the pulpits of America starts in Jude. We are to contend for the faith, defend the faith, understand who, what the gospel is and what the Bible is all about, and contend for it and defend it. And then consider those who are in the pews, those sheep, those who are there under our watch care, to say to them, to think every time we stand in the pulpit, am I equipping them to face the wolf that's outside the door? Do they know who the wolf is? Do they know the strategy of the wolf? Do they know where the enemies are? And if I am not warning them, I am culpable. I am an enabler of the wolf himself. Dave, if that mentality were to grip the hearts of the pulpit, we would change the flavor of every pulpit in America today.